KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have dense fog, about a tenth of a mile visibility. You can expect that fog to be burning off through about 9 o'clock this morning. There is still a dense fog advisory in effect for the entire listening area until 9 a.m. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Iowa officials say they're giving a $344 million raise to two companies that manage the state's Medicaid program. The state's share is nearly $103 million, or 7.5%. increase. The federal government will cover the remainder. The Iowa Department of Human Services, which oversees the health care program for 680,000 poor and disabled Iowans, said Friday that the additional funding is a manageable increase. Medicaid Director Michael Randall says the new contracts improve oversight of services provided by United Healthcare and Amerigroup. Senate Democratic Leader Janet Peterson calls the increased cost a gut punch to Iowa taxpayers. Former Republican Governor Terry Branstad privatized the program in 2016, and Governor Kim Reynolds supports it despite questions about whether it is saving the promised millions of dollars and complaints that services have deteriorated. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst says she expects to hear something soon on the trade deal with Mexico. The Republican from Red Oak said she knows everyone is anxious to hear something.
Iowans come to me every day to talk about trade. And the RFS.
Ernst says she doesn't know all the details of what is being discussed, but she says it is important to make progress.
What do I want to see? I want to see the deal done. Let's get that in the rearview mirror. I think that that will be really important for our farmers and ranchers.
Ernst says the Mexico deal could be the path for other trade deals to come together.
Mexico has been a wonderful trade partner to us. I will not deny that. They have been very good for agriculture. So if we can continue that wonderful relationship between our farmers and ranchers and the folks in Mexico, let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's move on. Let's get Canada done. And then we can focus on the larger issue, which is China.
Ernst made her comment during her weekly conference call with reporters. Well, federal health officials say they've confirmed more than 500 cases of people who became sick with an intestinal illness after eating McDonald's salads. The illness, reported earlier this year, linked to the Cyclospora parasite, which can cause diarrhea, intestinal pain, nausea, or fatigue. The Food and Drug Administration said Friday that 507 cases have been confirmed in 15 states and New York City. McDonald's stopped the sale of the salads at 3,000 restaurants last month until it could find a different supplier. The FDA says it's still investigating the supplier of romaine lettuce and carrots. The states with the cases of the sickness include Iowa, also Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, and Wisconsin, to name a few. Officials also said people sickened in Connecticut, Florida, New York City, Tennessee, and Virginia had traveled in Illinois and Kentucky. As Iowa kids get their back-to-school physicals, it's a good time to get them vaccinated against the human papillomavirus. HPV, as it's known, is easily transmitted and can cause six types of cancer. While there is no treatment for HPV, Tessa Allred, program coordinator with the Iowa Cancer Consortium, says a safe vaccine series is available.
A lot of parents are getting their kids in for wellness visits and getting them ready to go back to school, so it's a good time for them to talk to their providers about the vaccines that they'll need. Which would include the HPV vaccine, which is recommended for adolescents aged 11 and 12.
A report from the Iowa Department of Public Health found only 42% of girls and 36% of boys have completed their HPV vaccination series. The consortium has set a goal to increase HPV vaccination rates for Iowa teens between 13 and 15 years old to 60% by 2022.
We're actually producing a video right now that features a couple of cervical cancer survivors. And so what they're doing in those videos is sharing about what their experience was like and why they wish they would have had the opportunity to get this vaccine when they were 11 or 12.
If all the children were vaccinated, she says, so many cancers could be prevented.
There are a couple of other states that actually require the HPV vaccine before school. Iowa currently does not require it, but it's a vaccine that is highly recommended.
Most insurance policies cover the shots, she says, and if they're not covered, there are several reimbursement programs. The Iowa Cancer Consortium is billed as a partnership of more than 400 healthcare providers, public health professionals, caregivers, researchers, cancer survivors, volunteers, and other Iowans who work together to reduce the burden of cancer in our state. New software and a mobile app will let Des Moines teachers respond immediately to emergencies, alert other staffers, and lock down doors. The $9,000 Alertus software notifies the district's public safety office and other staff on campus about an emergency. The software also handles severe weather alerts. Pam Rosa is safety specialist for the Des Moines Public Schools. She says calling 911 is still the preferred way to seek help, but the new software is an added layer of security. The move comes after Iowa passed a law this spring requiring schools to create emergency plans on responding to threats such as an active shooter or a tornado. The bill passed in the wake of a school shooting that left 17 people dead in Parkland, Florida. Iowa State University police say they took one man into custody after a report of men with guns near an apartment complex Thursday night. ISU police issued an alert at around 10 p.m. of two armed men entering a building in Frederickson Court, with one of them possibly having a rifle. They issued another alert that there were four men and one had a handgun in his waist. They urged students to stay away as they searched the area, and they issued an all-clear at around 11:30 p.m. Thursday and said they had one man in custody and multiple BB guns were recovered. Police have not issued an update since on the person's name or if any charges have been filed. A former University of Iowa student wrestler was sentenced Thursday to 4 months in prison after pleading guilty to unauthorized access and damage to the U of I's college computer network. 23-year-old Trevor J. Graves was also ordered to serve 2 years of supervised release, pay $67,900 in restitution, and $100 to the Crime Victims Fund. Graves pleaded guilty in April of this year. He admitted that he knew that from May 2015 to November 15, 2016, the U of I had courses online, or ICON, network that was a protected computer. During this time period, Graves knowingly and intentionally placed a keylogger on the U of I computers and fraudulently obtained professors' usernames and passwords, accessed the ICON computer network, and deleted and changed student grades. Specifically, Graves accessed the ICON system and, without authorization, changed course grades for himself and five other students. The University of Iowa's information technology costs associated with their internal investigation, response to the discovery of the network breach, and remedial steps taken to update the U of I's information technology security was about $67,900. The investigation was conducted by the FBI, University of Iowa Department of Public Safety, and the University of Iowa Information Services Technology Division. The case was prosecuted by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of Iowa. A spokesman for the Iowa Department of Transportation says the man accused of killing Molly Tibbetts of Brooklyn did not use any official Iowa driver's license or ID to get a job. The owner of the farm where Christian Rivera worked said he showed them an ID when applying for his job. Rivera's in the country illegally, and DOT spokesman Mark Lowe says they checked his name and similar names against their database.
And then to hedge against, could there be a record in another name with his likeness, then we load the image that we had of him into our facial recognition system, and we do what's called a one-to-many search, where we go through and look for matches against all the images in our database.
Lowe said it's a relatively quick process to do a facial recognition check.
We spend a little time, but not days worth. I'd say a couple hours worth, probably.
And he says the facial recognition system is now used every time someone comes in to renew or get a new driver's license.
We take the template of that image, and we run it against all images that we have to make sure that we're not establishing one person with multiple identities, if that makes sense. And the other thing we do is to compare it to your image of last record to make sure that they match, to make sure that someone isn't coming in and trying to use your identity.
And he says they do sometimes get requests from law enforcement from in and out of state to search for someone. Lowe says using the facial recognition has dramatically dropped the number of attempts people make to try and get driver's licenses under someone else's name. The news was brought to you by Cass County Health System, Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.